Also, a lot of hockey news this afternoon. Bruins making qualifying offers to restricted free agents Ryan Spooner and Brett Connolly, and making a trade today, with more on that and all that's happened with the Bruins in a very eventful last 4 days or so. We're joined on the Tiller and Ride telephone line by Kirk Ludeke, who covers hockey for the New England Hockey Journal and the Red Line Report. Kirk, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Rich. Thanks for having me on.
Man, it's been a crazy few days here for the Boston Bruins. Let's work our way backwards and start with the deal they made today. It was nice to know you, Martin Jones. Thanks for stopping by briefly. Jones traded to San Jose. This time around, it sounds like Don Sweeney did fairly well.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Martin Jones made no issue of the fact that he wanted to be a starting goaltender. That obviously was not going to happen in Boston with Tuukka Rask there, unless he was going to really shake the trees and trade Rask, which I just don't think was an option given how important Tuukka is to this team. So he moves Jones. He picks up a good, solid college player who's going to be the captain of his team in Miami University. And the Bruins obviously have an interest in those players. They signed Austin Zarnik earlier, former captain, out of Miami. Enrico Blasi's got a really good program there. And I think ultimately it ended up being a good move for the Bruins, and plus they get a first in 2016. So it'll be a wait-and-see move. I don't think Corrali's going to be playing for him this year. He might see some time at the end. But it was nice knowing you, Martin Jones, and good luck in San Jose.
Now, what about yesterday, the Zach Rinaldo deal? Did the Bruins overpay for him?
Yeah, I think so. But the thing about it is, I mean, he certainly does play that Boston Bruins style of game. Sometimes he maybe crosses that line and gets himself into trouble, and I think that's going to be the concern for sorry about that little background music there. I'm walking around in Epcot Center, guys. Sorry about that.
Oh, I enjoyed that.
I think as far as Ronaldo goes, he hits a lot, and he can really agitate, which is something the Bruins could definitely use on the lower lines. The problem with him is, A, the price you're paying, and B, a lot of fans don't really respect the way he plays the game. And so I think right now people are kind of, doing the old raised eyebrows, wondering where he fits in on the Bruins.
Now, Dougie Hamilton today signed a six-year deal with Calgary for a little less than $6 million a year. That leads me to believe, Kirk, that this deal was more than about just money in getting Dougie Hamilton out of town.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think Don Sweeney alluded to that fact and didn't go into details. And general managers generally not go into details about such things. But I think we kind of read the tea leaves and hear different things. I imagine, I'm not into speculating, but based on what I've heard, if I had to guess, the price that Dougie Hamilton signed with Calgary was not something his camp would have extended to Boston. So. The Bruins could have signed him, but it would have cost them more. And I think at that point, the Bruins felt, well, hey, maybe we just got to move on from this player. Right, wrong, indifferent. He was moved for picks. That's a tough pill to swallow right now for Bruins fans. And unless we see some more experienced NHL talent coming back Boston's way here in the next couple weeks, I think they're going to be pretty hard-pressed to I'll make the playoffs next year.
We're talking with Kirk Ludeke of New England Hockey Journal. Kirk, you're an expert on prospects. As we look at the Bruins draft, a lot of young guys, a lot of guys who are a number of years away from likely being in the National Hockey League, how would you assess overall what they acquired in this year's draft?
Well, I think you have to kind of separate the trades. The Dougie Hamilton trade has to be looked at separately from the draft picks. I know that's kind of counterintuitive because the draft picks they acquired led directly, to their draft class. But it's when you look at the players they acquired, there's some promising potential there. The problem that the Bruins are running into right now is that every year the draft is a perception. So you see a very limited amount of public lists, and according to these public lists that were out there, some of the players that the Bruins drafted were what most people say is their reaches. And again, reach is a perception. I mean, what is a reach to one person might not be so. So you know, to another. So, I mean, you look at the Jakob Zboril's and the Zach Stanishins and maybe even Jake DeBrusque, and people are saying, well, hey, those guys were rated lower than where the Bruins got them. What the heck, you know? But I think those are some good players. I think the Bruins really got value on the second day when you look at players like Brandon Carlo and Jacob Forsbacka Carlson, or JFK, as they like to call him, and then Jeremy Lauzon. I think those three players they got in the second round could really pay dividends for them and were maybe better value selections in terms of where they were ranked as opposed to the first day selections.
So can you piece together yet what Don Sweeney's plan for the Bruins might be going forward?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, all the players, I think, in my mind that were taken in the draft are not options really for this year. You might see one of them surprise at camp and make the team, but that would be asking an awful lot. I think a lot of fans look at what happened with David Pastrnak last year, and they're saying, hey, let's, you know, what are we going to get from this year's draft class? And based on what I've seen so far from these players, I don't see any of them being ready to step in and help immediately. So to answer the question, what is Don Sweeney doing? I'm not really sure. You know, he's trying to clear space. He's trying to shake things up, move some players around. But the bottom line is I really don't, without seeing what he's going to do in free agency or maybe if there's another trade to be made somewhere, I can't see that this team that is constructed today, as of today, with the players they have under contract and the guys they have in the system, it's going to be a step back in 2015, 2016.
Kirk, we really appreciate you making time for us this afternoon. You're at Epcot. What country are you in?
You know, it is perfect. I'm walking through Canada right now. So, I mean, could we have scripted any better? I don't think so.
Well played. I like that a lot. We appreciate you making time, as always, and we'll catch you again soon.
Hey, thank you so much for reaching out and having me. And again, if I could just close, I like the draft class. I like the potential there. But it's going to be a wait and see, and we're just going to have to be patient and see if some of these guys pay off, because they really do have the potential to be some good players, especially the Sinishin pick. That's a guy I think that could be the best of the three first-rounders in time.
Kirk, thank you much. Enjoy your time in Florida, and we'll talk soon.
All right. All the best. Thank you.
That's Kirk Ludicky down at Disney, and I feel pretty good that I resisted the urge till now to make comparisons to the Bruins being yet another Mickey Mouse outfit. 17 minutes after 4 o'clock on Downtown Boston Insiders, brought to you every day on the show by Cross Insurance, where security meets strength, and online at crossagency.com. Still to come this afternoon, we talk 70s music. Our friend Michael Morish, a great writer, covers both sports and music. We like that a lot. He wrote the Vinyl Dialogues. We talked to him about that last winter. He's got a sequel. It's called Volume 2, Dropping the Needle. Conversations with people behind some of the biggest albums of the 1970s. We'll